produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Numbers chapter 32, and we can see in our outline of the chapter that we're in the last subsection. It had three different sections, and this section is the journey from Kadesh Barnea to Moab. What are we doing? We are preparing to cross over, amen, somebody, cross over into the promised land. And the very last section of that is chapters 28 through 36, okay? And we're in the middle of that. Towards the end, we are in chapter 32. It is the tribes settling east of the Jordan. The tribes settling east of the Jordan, chapter 32. Okay, so let's jump into this and see what the scripture has for us on today. Everyone that is viewing by YouTube at a later date, please consider hitting subscribe, like, share. Tell someone about it. Hit that bell, which is a notifications bell. I post videos once a week. It is a direct recording of the Spirit-led Bible study, our virtual Bible study. You're not missing anything that we go over every Thursday on our Bible study. So it's a direct recording. Hit that subscribe button and view your session for today. Amen? Okay. Chapter 32. The tribes of Israel, 12 tribes of Israel, settling east of the Jordan. Now look at what we have here. And keep your Bibles open because we're walking directly down scripture. Okay? It says, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of livestock. And when they saw the land of, one may pronounce this, Jazer or Hazir, in the land of Gilead, that indeed the region was a place for livestock. Okay, they were noticing and scoping out this land. Verse 2, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses. Let's see what they talked about. To Eleazar the priest, remember Eleazar took over for Aaron, so Eleazar is now the high priest, okay? Spoke to them and spoke to the leaders of the congregation. So if they spoke to all of the leaders, it must be something important, okay? Now, it gives you a list of headings of the countries. The country which the Lord defeated, it gives a list of the people and or countries. Verse 4, the country which the Lord defeated from the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. What are they saying? They're saying the land that we're viewing would be good for our livestock to dwell because we have great livestock. This is a land that the Lord has allowed us to conquer and to commandeer, okay? That's what it is saying. But doesn't this sound kind of strange here? Why are they scoping out this land? But let's keep going. Verse 5, therefore, you remember that word, therefore? Anytime you have therefore, go see what therefore is therefore, okay? It says, if we have found favor in your sight, okay, they're asking for something. Let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Okay, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants. So they're coming with a posture of asking for something, but with the posture of a servant humbling themselves unto all the leaders, asking for the land that they have viewed. And what is there for? They are asking because they see that the land is good for grazing and for cattle. It's not a mountainous land, maybe. It's not a wooded land, maybe. It has a lot of water. It has a lot of vegetation, okay? Let's just put our mindset in that. But look at the last of verse 5. This is the killer right here. Do not take us over the Jordan or Jordan River. My brother, my sister, anyone on the Zoom line, anyone video, audio, anyone on my phone conference line, anyone that's on YouTube, if you don't know one thing by now, you should know every single thing leading up to now, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, approaching Deuteronomy, it is to get to the promised land. The promised land is over Jordan. They are this close, people, looking at their blessing, looking at their promise, and they are saying, we don't want to go across it. We don't want to go across it. Now, if you've listened to any of these Bible studies, you know the context of what they're saying and the severity of what they are saying. This is a pure slap in the face of the Most High God, Yahweh himself, okay? Yah is displeased with this. Now, why are they doing this? It says, no, they say, we see the land is fertile. We want a great land for our livestock. Okay, people, think to yourself. If they crossed over Jordan, if they went to the promised land and fulfilled the promise, the plan, and the purpose of the Most High God, don't you think that there's land flowing with milk and honey, it says, okay? Flowing with milk and honey, this great land that God has promised them all of this time. Don't you think that they would have land over there that's suitable for their livestock? So what's the real reason here? Okay, let me tell you ahead of time. They were fearful and they did not want to go to war. It had nothing, people, to do with their livestock. It had nothing to do with their cattle. It had nothing to do with the people and their size of their tribe and the size of their livestock. They were fearful of going to war. They had been told step by step by step, when you get, as you're approaching the promised land, you will be in battle. Especially when you get in the promised land, you will have to eradicate all the people that I tell you to eradicate or exterminate out of the promised land. This is for you and you only. They were scared of war, people. They were scared of war, okay? Okay, where you get that from, Reb? Well, from research, but look at verse 6. And Moses said to the children of Gad, this is his immediate response, and to the children of Reuben, what did he say? Look at what the scripture says. Quote, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? That's what his immediate response was. That's your clue right there. He did not say, shall you sit here and graze your animals while your brethren graze their animals across the Jordan? No, he did not. He said, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Scary cats, as we used to say as kids. 7, verse 7. Now, why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over to the land which the Lord has given them? Why would you dare come forward, come before the people and say, you don't want to go? What are they saying? You're going to encourage someone else to act the way you're acting and discourage them from going over the Jordan. It's what Moses is saying. Verse 8, thus your fathers did when I sent them away from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. This is the same thing, my people, my brother, my sister, okay? They're at the border. They're about to receive their blessing of the promised land. And remember, when the spies went out and scoped the land and scouted the land, they came back with a bad report, except for two of them. And what happened? They were forced to wander in the wilderness, okay? So Moses is saying, are you doomed to repeat the same thing that your fathers did years ago? Okay? Verse 9, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And you're coming before me to do the same thing with a lie from the pit of hell saying you don't want to go across because of your cattle. God has provided for you in the wilderness. God provided in the wilderness for all the cattle, for all the people, correct? Why would he provide in the promised land for all the people and all the cattle? And when that happened, then the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath, saying, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs. Jacob's name changed to Israel. These are his 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, because they did not follow me. And now here you are doing the same thing. Verse 12 just says, except for the scouts of Caleb and Joshua. They came back with the good report. Remember? We did all that. Look at verse 13. So the Lord's anger, the Lord, Yahweh translated, the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them to wander in the wilderness 40 years. We went over that in previous sessions, remember? Until all that generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. Look at verse 14. And look, exclamation point. Here, you come in my face with this same foolishness. Okay, that's not what the scripture says. That's just what Reb says. Okay, let's look at what the scripture says. And look, you have risen to increase still more the fierce anger of the Lord against Israel. You should have used the example of our fathers, but no, here you are coming up doing the same thing. It makes no sense whatsoever. Now, it says to increase still more the fierce anger, meaning perpetually, God's anger will get worse and worse. Oh my God, thank you. This is something I want you to underline. Okay, God's anger will perpetually get worse and worse against the people if they continue to disobey. Why? Because we're getting to Deuteronomy, okay? Where we see the curses or the curse. It will get worse and worse. So why are you doing this? Verse 15, for if you turn away from following him, he will once again lead them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all these people. So the precedent had been set. If you commit that sin again, you know at the least what's going to happen. And it's going to be worse, but at the least, you know all the people that have come with you will die out in the wilderness and not see the promised land. That generation, okay? So why would you do this? They're scared to go to war. So, verse 16, then they came near to him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our livestock. Okay, you're not listening. You're not listening to me. But what by your answer, you're not listening. But okay, Moses, look. We will build sheepfolds here for our livestock. Here is not across Jordan, not in the promised land. And cities for our little ones. So you're gonna build sheepfolds for your livestock, barns for your livestock, kennels for your livestock. You're gonna build cities to dwell in for our little ones. But we ourselves will be armed, ready to go before the children of Israel until we have brought them to their place. Okay, look at the wording, people. I could stay on this one chapter for this hour. Look at the wording. What do I always tell you? Look at every word. But we ourselves will be armed, ready to go to war before the children of Israel. They're speaking like they're not the children of Israel. They've already separated themselves in their mind. We have brought until we separated, like we're not the children of Israel, brought them, those people over there. Who are those people? Who are them? That's the children of Israel. Their brothers and sisters brought them to their place. Do you see that? And our separated, our little ones will dwell in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. Do you see how insane that one verse is? They have already mentally separated themselves as a different group of people and not in totality with the children of Israel. Verse 18, we will not return to our homes, which is on this side of the Jordan, not in the promised land, until every one of the children of Israel has received his inheritance. It's not his inheritance, it's our inheritance. It's not their inheritance, it's the entire children of Israel's inheritance. Look at verse 19. For we will not inherit with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has fallen to us on the eastern side of the Jordan. They're not going to the west side of the Jordan. Somebody. Do you realize verbally they are disqualifying? Amen, somebody. They are disqualifying their own tribes, their own selves, from the pure blessing of the Lord and the promise that all of these years they have been working towards. They are separating themselves from the promise. Even further, the Abrahamic covenant, they are separating themselves from the covenant in a sense. Do you see how insane this is? Do you see how crazy these words are? He's like, oh, Red, we haven't made it past verse 18 and 19. I didn't get all that out of it. Slow down in your reading. Slow down. They are separating themselves from the blessing. Okay, for those of you guys that have not heard me say this 15 million times, okay? The underlying purpose of all of this, God, the Most High God, and all my normal people are saying, okay, here we go again. Yeah, you're right. It's fulfilling three purposes to accomplish one goal, okay? Three elements to accomplish one goal. The goal is God is forming a great nation, a nation unto him. When you read of the peculiar people, the priesthood, okay, the people unto God, his chosen nation, the nation of Israel. But in order to form a nation, he has to have three elements: people, law, and land. He formed his people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, okay? They grew to 2.5 million. He brought them out of Egypt, the great Exodus, through the Red Sea, and all of these things. Immediately after that, they formed the laws or the commandments, as we learned as children, the Ten Commandments. There was over 600 of those laws and commands. He gave them their law because people have to have laws to govern themselves. The laws were to keep them holy. Be ye holy because I am holy. Okay? Now, he had to give them a land separated unto themselves. They are preparing. All of this is to form his great nation. Why is he forming his great nation? Because when Adam and Eve was on the scene in the Garden of Eden, they fell in sin. One man fell. It is said the first Adam fell. Now the second Adam, as we say, theoretically, Christ Jesus has to come to wipe out the sin. So he needed a chosen vessel, a children, a nation to bring that chosen vessel through this land, a sinful world, because we're all born in sin and iniquity because of the sin in the Garden of Eden. Now he has to have a chosen people that they do all these sacrifices and offerings to atone for their sins so that the Holy One, the sinless Lamb, can come through that nation. Now, that's all these books in 2 minutes. That's the purpose, okay? Everything you have read, that's the purpose. Because Christ Jesus, the Holy Messiah, the atonement, the deliverer for our sins will come from this nation, specifically from the tribe of Judah. Okay? That's why God is doing all this. He needs a holy nation unto himself, people, law, land. He's given them their land in the next couple of chapters. And these people have turned around and said, I don't want to go across the Jordan. It's a slap in the face of the Most High God. I'm taking my time because we're only doing 3 chapters tonight. Okay? Taking my time with it. So, verse 20. Then Moses said to them, if you do this thing, if you arm yourselves before the Lord for the war, and all your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterwards you may return and be blameless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. Powerful. If you do this thing, if you arm yourselves before the Lord for war, and all your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until who drives out the people? Capital H, till you always look at your capitalization to know if they're talking about the divine or the people, okay? So capital H is God. Jordan before the Lord Yahweh, until he, Yahweh, drives out Yahweh's enemies, from before him, from before Yahweh, from before the Most High God. What is Moses saying? God is going to do everything. You are coming over there armed, but God will provide the victory. The victory is already promised to us. And you are cowardly saying that you don't want to go across, but because I give you the ultimatum, now you're saying your mind is already made up. I will go over the Jordan and help you guys be victorious. Moses is saying, God will fight the battles for us. So why are you fearful? But if I see that this is set in stone in your head, so if you do this and return back, you will be blameless because you at least crossed over and fulfilled the promise to go across the promised land. Our fathers previously, did they refused to go across. So they were killed in the wilderness. So if you're saying you will fulfill the journey and go across and honor God by going across, then you will be allowed, oh my God, to turn against your blessing and cross back over to where your blessing does not lie. Amen, somebody. How many of us walk into our blessing, get it, then turn around and go back to where we're not supposed to be and turn our back on our blessing? Ooh, my God. Dude, I'm going to preach that. I'm going to preach that right there, right there, right there. You're going to hear that from me. Turn your back on your blessing. You're going to hear that from me. Flee from your blessing. Amen. Okay, you're going to hear that from me. Okay, verse 23. So since you're telling me what you're going to do, verse 23, Moses says, but if you do not do so, comma, then take note. Oh, I love how Moses is speaking right now. Take note, comma, you have sinned against the Lord, Yahweh, the Most High, and be sure your sin will find you out. Is that not powerful? I love how Moses is speaking. Now, Moses would not go into the promised land, but he's still speaking as an authoritative figure saying, your sin will be founded out. Your sin will be imputed or held against you. Verse 24, build your cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep and do what has proceeded out of your mouth. I don't care at this point. And the children, I'm sorry, let me not add to it. I'm sorry, I'm getting excited. Do what has proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke to Moses saying, your servants, speaking like they're humble, your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our livestock will be there in the cities of Gilead. But your servants will cross over every man armed for war. We're ready for battle, just as the Lord says. No, the Lord says go conquer the land and dwell the land. Not dwell somewhere else. So don't act like you're doing what God has commanded you to do. But at least you're taking, all they're doing, people, is going one step farther than the last generation had did. They're going one step farther. They're denying to go across, but then saying, okay, so that you don't kill us, we will go ahead and cross over, help you fight, and then come back and turn my back on my own blessing. Wow. Verse 28. So Moses gave command concerning them to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. So he gave the command. 29. And Moses said to them, if the children of Gad and children of Reuben cross over the Jordan with you, they're completing the promise, they're crossing over. Every man armed for battle before the Lord, and the land is subdued before you, then you shall give them the land Gilead as a possession. That's their allotment. But what are they doing? What they're doing is, you remember, the 12 tribes of Israel, the larger tribes will receive the bigger inheritance, the smaller tribes will receive the small inheritance. They will cast lots for where they will dwell in the land. All they're doing now is giving the remaining tribes more land, is what they're doing. Okay? That's what they're doing. So it says, give them the land as their possession, which is outside of the promised land. Verse 30. But if they do not cross over armed with you, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. If they change their mind and cross over and stay there, They still have the blessing. Now look at this grace of God. Look at this grace. No matter how they're trying to be disobedient, if they cross over here, fight with us and stay, they still have their possession because God is no short of his word. Verse 31, then the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered saying, as the Lord had said to your servants, so will we do. Okay? We will be obedient. So skip to 33. So Moses gave to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, and to, get this now, half the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. They have influenced another group of people to join with them. So now it's the half tribe of Manasseh. For those of you all that are just signing on, go back to the previous session. You won't see Joseph listed because he received a double blessing. His two sons, okay? Joseph is a son of Israel or Jacob. He received a double blessing. Why? Because he was sold into slavery into Egypt and was the vehicle or the cause of them to come back or go to Egypt to receive the blessing, to grow to 2.5 million people. They were protected during the famine. Okay, I'm just trying to say this briefly. So his two children, Joseph received a double blessing. So that's why you don't see Joseph's name listed as in the 12 tribes later, because he received a double blessing. His sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, okay? So one of his sons is saying, I'm gonna stay with them, okay? So the children of Gad, Reuben, and half tribe of Manasseh. That's why they're calling them a half tribe, okay? The kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, remember that's what they accomplished. They was victorious in battle with them previously. The land with its cities within the borders, the cities of the surrounding country, meaning those lands are right on the border of Canaan, give them that as an inheritance. They're not going over. Or they're going over and they're coming back over. So 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39 list those areas, those cities. It's saying the fortified cities, the folds for their sheep and all of that, where Reuben, where Gad, where Manasseh set up, okay? And it ends right there in like 39, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, and there's where they landed, okay? All their lands. So that just gives you their location right before the land of Canaan, okay? The promised land. Verse 40. So Moses gave Gilead, and that just ends it out, gave Gilead to Machir, the son of Manasseh, okay? And he dwelt in it. That's just saying where they dwelt. So it ends out with just saying the towns or villages or land where they were given the possession. And it briefly states that so that it separates them from now the other tribes that will go or dwell or have their inheritance in the promised land. Do you see the importance of that? You are turning your back on the blessings and the promises of God. Okay? That's what you need to grasp from that. As they are walking, and we do that today, they're on the border of their promised land, of their promise. They're seeing their promise fulfilled, and they are refusing to go across, but then, as an ultimatum, they decided that they will go across. They will be cowardly, but they will go across, help fight the battle that's already won. They're already victorious, but because of their fear, they will turn around and turn their back on their blessing and go back to a land that they were not promised. You know, I got to say this. How many times as we as a people, we've prayed to get out of a situation and to get where God wants us and our purpose, either in our location or in our purpose, our plan, our destiny. And we are approaching. He has given us all the provision, the vision for it, the provision for it. He has provided everything for us. We get to our border. We can walk into our blessing, but we are so fearful of the work, my God, the war that we have to endure to walk into it. We're so fearful that we will turn our back on the blessings that God has for us instead of understanding and leaning and depending on God that the battle is already won. He's going to provide the victory and the war that it takes to conquer this blessing. Why? Why should they know this? Because he's done it before. He will do it again. And he has showed himself strong every step of the way. Amen? He has showed himself strong every step of the way. So, my brother, my sister, how many times do we do this? We turn our back on our own blessings at the border of our blessing. But they're taking it a step further. They're walking into the blessing and turning around and walking back out the door. That's just like my people. I'm sorry, God. I got to stop right here. That's just like you're praying for that new house because you've never owned a house before. You've never owned your own piece of property. And it doesn't have to be a big house, small house. The size doesn't matter. You've never owned your own property. You've never owned your own house. You've been praying for this for your family. God makes you the promise that he will provide this for you. You can't afford it. You can't provide for it. He gives you the blessing. He allows for you to be approved without no down payment, no credit, okay? No down payment, no credit. You approve for this house. They give you the keys. You walk in the house. You look around. It's your property. It's your house. The bank gives you the keys. God has provided it for you. And you turn around and hand the keys back over to the bank, to the realtor, to the mortgage guy, rather. Hand the keys back over to him and tell him, it's going to take too much work to decorate this. It's going to take too much work to keep this clean. It's going to take too much work to cut the grass. Here's the keys back. I'll go back to the wilderness. That is what they're saying, people. My God, my God, my God. I got to move on, guys. I got to move on. Chapter 33. Chapter 33. That'll preach and that will preach. Chapter 33. My God. Fleeing from your blessing. Chapter 33. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to go to full screen with your notes, guys. If anybody else comes on, I always keep my participants list up so I can see them come in. I'm going to close that out so I can give you full screen. Okay. Chapter 33. My God, I didn't get excited. Chapter 33. Israel's journey from Egypt reviewed. And literally, it means exactly what it says. Israel's journey from Egypt reviewed. Let's look at this. It is extensive, but it's not all inclusive. Let me say that. It is extensive, but it's not all inclusive. What do you mean, Reb? I mean, you will see theologians going back and forth about the events, what was included, what was not included. When we speak of, that's my alarm for myself. A time alarm. When we speak of locations, when we speak of people and events, the major things or the major locations will be listed. Some things will be left out. Okay, so just keep that in mind. Okay, let's move right along, people. We have about 15 minutes and we will easily cover this in 15 minutes. Israel's journey from Egypt review. Okay, verse 1 and 33. These are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay? Moses, this solidifies. This is from God telling Moses. Moses wrote it. This is the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses, the books of law, the books of Torah. And these are their journeys according to their starting points. So chapter 33 is going to be that and that only. Okay. Verse 3, they departed from Ramesses. Okay. On the day after the Passover. Now you're going to have to keep your Bible open because I'm just hitting the points of this. Okay. They departed from Ramesses. I'm in verse 3. On the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. Real, I already know this. Why is it listed? This is verbal historical data for the children of Israel. And God is saying, Moses, write it down. Okay? Generations have been lost since Egypt. They have to constantly restate, write down, verbal and or verbalize the historical data of their history. Because you see, they keep falling into sin over and over again, keep falling into disobedience. Why? Because this generation didn't come out of Egypt. Okay? Remember? Everybody at a certain age, 20 years old, will be killed in the wilderness because of their disobedience. It's the cycle over and over. So we have to keep stating this is what God is saying. Okay? Look at verse 5. They moved from Ramesses and camped at Succoth. Verse 6, they departed from Succoth and camped at Etham. I was not born and reared in this time, so some, I will mispronounce some of these names or locations, and so were you. Don't beat up yourself over it. If it's something major, I will always look it up first and know the pronunciation if it's major, okay? But don't beat yourself over it, and definitely give me grace over it, okay? So then, verse 6, they departed from Succoth, okay, Etham. Verse 7, they moved from Etham, okay? Verse 8, they departed from Hitharoth, okay? Camped at Merah in 8. You see, I'm just skimming through it. Now, in your notes, do you see where all this that I have highlighted? 9 all the way through 27, it just says they moved, they journeyed, they moved, they journeyed, they moved. They departed, they moved. So you can highlight the ending of those verses just like I have done. In 9, from Marah, 10, from Elam, 11, from the Red Sea, from the wilderness of Sin, from Dachkai, from Alush, from Rephidim, from the wilderness of Sinai. We're all the way to 16. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm trying to show you? It's just a detailed listing of their journey, okay? And you skim straight down it from the wilderness 16. Now you see they're in the wilderness of Sinai, okay? And it keeps going on and on. 24, Mount Sippor, you've heard of that. T-Rock, verse 28, you've heard that. It keeps going on and on. It gives you a detailed listing. Verse 37, they moved from Kadesh. You've heard me say that, and camped at Mount Hor on the boundary of the land of Edom. Okay, the Edomites, okay? So look at 38. So go through those verses. It's just giving you a detailed listing of where they went and how they moved from place to place. It's your historical data that theologians have been able to go back and verify and solidify the Bible, okay? Authenticate the Bible. This is why God do those things, okay? So you can authenticate the Bible is real. They can argue over, oh, Jesus was a myth, but they can't argue over all these people, places, and things, okay? They can't argue over all these locations. Now, the locations' names will change generation to generation. And if you don't know how to link those names together, then you will be able to be fooled to say, oh, well, this mount or this location, it does not exist on the mount. Yes, it does. The names just changed, okay? So verse 38, then Aaron the priest went up from Mount Hor. Aaron is dead, Reb. I know this is speaking in retrospect. This is speaking history, okay? Verse 38 is talking about, and the priest went up from Mount Hor at the command of the Lord and died there. They're speaking in past tense. In the 14th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt on the first day of the fifth month. Historical data. Now it's given data when he died. You see how you can follow the whole plight of the children of Israel. Okay? It even tells you in 39, Aaron was 123 years old when he died on Mount Hor. Do you see that? Here we go again, 41, they departed Mount Hor. 42, departed Zalmanah. It goes on and on, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, where they camped, where they departed from. 48, they departed from the mounts of Abraham and camped in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. So you have a detailed listing from point A to point B. Or point Z, whatever you want to say. Now, they're across from Jordan. They're at the Jordan across from Jericho. So how can you deny that the Bible is real? How can you deny that? 49. Come on back in. I see you. So now, look at this. It's verse 50. Instructions from the conquest, instructions for the conquest of Canaan, okay? So now that they have the detailed listing, now look at what it says, okay? Verse 51, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, I'm sorry, verse 50, Lord spoke to Moses, you know, always say who's speaking, who is he speaking to? Yahweh is speaking to Moses. You have crossed when the people speak to the children of Israel, because we know Moses didn't go over. So he's saying, speak to the children. So when you have crossed, who is you? The people, not Moses. Speak to the people and say, when you, children of Israel, have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, the promised land, then you shall drive out, verse 52, you shall drive out all, A-L-L, all the inhabitants, everybody, of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones. I will not have no images before me, no gods before me, no graven images, okay? Destroy all of that. He already told them that in the commandments, remember? Destroy all their molded images and demolish all their high places, their statues and temples and anything else that they have. You shall dispose the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it. For I have given you the land to possess. Here's the promised land, okay? But you better rid everything in that land that's not of me, is what he is saying. 54, and you shall divide the land by lot. We went over this already, right? As an inheritance among your families. And remember, it says the larger will get a larger inheritance, the smaller give a smaller inheritance. We did that already. Okay, it's just recanting that. 55. But, here goes that but. Boy, that but scares me in scripture. If you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. My God, somebody. 56, moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them, end quote. Y'all don't get excited when you read this? The end of 34 is telling them, kill everybody. Tear down everything that they have, worshiping their pagan gods. If you don't do this, I'm going to do to you what I thought to do to them. Now, how simple is that? How simple is that? It's just that simple. How simple is that? Okay, we will see what happens. Look at 34 very quickly. All this says of 34, I got 7 minutes, and that's easy to do in 7 minutes. 34, it just deals with the appointed boundaries of Canaan. The boundaries of Canaan, okay? So that no one is telling the people exactly the borders of the promised land that I've given you. And later, theologians can find this on a map to authenticate exactly what is being said. But people say the Bible isn't real and God isn't real. Come on. Verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses. The Lord, Yahweh, translated, spoke the Most High God. It spoke to Moses. Still speaking to Moses. Command the children of Israel and say to them, when you come, you, the people, into the land of Canaan, the promised land, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, the promised land, the land of Canaan to its boundaries. This is the boundaries. I'm telling you, so there's no ambiguity in what I'm saying. These are your boundaries. Your southern border shall be, okay, well, God gonna tell them north, east, south, and west, okay? He's going to tell them specifically where their land is. If I had time to tell you a story, I remember as a child trying to walk throughout the land of our family land until I got to the border. And it seemed like it took me all day to do it. But I would get to the fence, and I would finally get to that fence in the far back pasture and cross that fence with someone else's land. And it says, do not trespass. And our land said, do not trespass. This is the borders. God is telling them what's theirs and what's not theirs. Okay? So the southern border, it says, shall be from the wilderness of Zin eastward to the east of the salt, to the end of the salt sea. Okay? And read this, guys. Read this for yourself. This is what I have highlighted to get through this quickly, but it is giving them the borders. Southern side. The wilderness of Zin, eastward to the end of the South Sea. Verse 4, your border shall turn from the southern side of the ascent to Akrabim, continue to Zin, and be on the south side of Kadesh Barnea. Then it shall go to Hazar Adar. Okay? It's telling them specifically where it should be, to the end of the sea, and it shall be to the end of the sea. Look at verse 6. The western border, okay? And I'm just skip through this, what I have highlighted in your notes. Great sea for a border. This is the west side. Great sea for a border. This shall be your western border. Verse 7. Northern border. From the great sea, you shall mark out your border line to Mount Hor. Verse 8. To the entrance of Hamath toward Zedah. Verse 9. Proceed. To the border shall proceed to Ziphron, and it shall end at Hazar Enon. Forgive my pronunciations. This shall be your northern border. In Hebrew, guys, pronounce it exactly how it is written. Don't try to think of it. Pronounce the sounds exactly how you see it, and you will be close. Okay. Verse 10, you shall mark out your eastern border, Hazar Enon, to Ziphon. Okay, the border shall go down to Riblah on the east side of Ain. And the border shall go down to reach the eastern side of the sea. Do you see this? It's given specifics, specifics. The border shall be along the Jordan, along the Salt Sea, and end at the Salt Sea. Okay, verse 13, this is the land which you shall inherit by lot. You shall inherit by lot, which the Lord has commanded to give to the nine tribes and to the half tribe. Why it says nine tribes and half tribe? Immediately now that the borders are being specified, they have eliminated the 2.5 tribes that did not want to go across, right? So it's saying this is your inheritance now. That's why it says 9.5, okay? Because that's the other 2.5 that does not want to go across, okay? And it tells you in 14, for the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh did what they did. They received it on the opposite side, okay? This side of the Jordan, across from Jericho, eastward toward the sunrise, okay? So look at verse 16. Your study Bible should say, the leaders appointed to divide the land. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 17, these are the names of the men who shall divide the land among you as an inheritance. Eleazar, the priest, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall take one leader of every tribe to divide the land for an inheritance. Look at 19 through 29. All it does is list those names. And I highlighted the names for you. I'm not going to read verse word for word, but look at it. Caleb, Simeon, Shemuel, Eliad, you see it goes straight down, and I highlighted those for you. All it does is list the remaining tribes and that leader designated for that tribe, okay? That's all it does. So those are your tribes listed. These are the tribes that remain: Judah, Simeon, Benjamin, okay? All of those, these the ones, and these are those leaders that were designated. Verse 29, these are the ones the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance among the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. Verse 29, that ends out the chapter. Now, those of you guys that are on video or can see, look at what Reb did for you, okay? I put you a map up. I do not own the rights to this map or any map listed on this Bible study. This is for informational purpose only and for no financial gain. Okay, so don't sue Reb. All right. The divisions of the promised land to the children of Israel. Look at this nice map that you can see exactly where the divisions were. You see all of these, okay? Asher, Naphtali at the top in the north. You see Dan, you see the River Jordan. You see this dividing line? You see Dan is here on the opposite side where he shouldn't be. You see Manasseh is here on the opposite side where he shouldn't be. Gad is on the opposite side where they shouldn't be. Reuben is on the opposite side where he shouldn't be, okay? You follow me? But on this side, Dan is muted into here, right? Okay, but listen on the opposite side. So because Naphtali has that country. So Asher, Naphtali, Zebulun, Issachar, Manasseh coming on down, Ephraim, Dan, Benjamin, you see this? Judah, Simeon, all of these are listed. So, and you see Palestinians on this side, Edomites, Moabites, Ammonites, you see all of this? All of these are listed for you. Hittites at the top, Armenians at the top. It's a nice map for you. Let me shrink it down so we can get on one page. Okay, it's a nice map for you. So if you want to copy and paste, or if you want to screenshot, you can screenshot it at this time, or go on YouTube and screenshot it, okay? I shrunk it down or shrinked it so that you can get a nice little screenshot of it, okay? Let me give you a few seconds to do that. Or you can go on YouTube and screenshot it later. For those of you guys that don't have video, it's a nice chart of where their lots fell and who's on what side of the Jordan, okay? So this shows you exactly where the promised land was, where it was, okay? Let me give you, and it says the Bible study website by BibleStudy.org is where I pulled this from. I left that on the bottom of the chart. I do not own the rights to this chart, okay? I have another chart for you, okay? This chart is, look at what I found for you. This is not my chart. I don't own the rights to this chart. Don't sue Rail. Note, this map is intended for illustration of the relationships between a text and not as a precise topographical representation of the boundaries. The numbers chapter 34 list is followed with the names that appear in Joshua 15, Ezekiel 47 text added a different type. Names with A, it's giving you a specification, are in their appropriate positions only. Names used in Numbers, names used in Joshua, names used in Ezekiel, and other names, okay? So this is a map drawn from the specific scriptures, okay? Where it says to the east will be this border, to the north will be this border, to the south, to the west will be this border. What you read in the verses, I found a specific chart to show you what you read, okay? You can see Mount Hor, you can see Kadesh, you can see Hamath, you can see all of these things that you read, okay? And you can go and you can see the approximate borderline, okay? This may not be exact, because you never want to say anything is exact, because times, places, topography, all of that changes, okay? Geography, all that changes. But this is a drawn map to show you this is the Great Sea, this is Shechem, this is Jerusalem, Gaza, Beersheba, the Brook of Egypt, okay? All of these things you can see this, and look at Kadesh Barnea right here, the waters of strife in Kadesh, the wilderness of Zin, Adar, all those things that you read in those scriptures in 34, this is a chart or a map. There's a direct correlation from those verses. And it's cross-referenced with Joshua, the verses in Joshua, and the verses in Ezekiel. Okay? Specifically Joshua 15 and specifically Ezekiel 47. So you can cross-reference all of those chapters and verses, and you get this map or this chart. Amen? So how can they say the Bible isn't real? So now, let me shrink this down for you so it can get on one page. So everyone that needs to screenshot it, you can screenshot it at this time. Okay? I'm going to leave that up. This concludes our session. I just wanted to give you this so that you can have it. And isn't it beautiful that you have a map and or chart? There's a direct representation of chapter 34. Okay? You got it? Amen. I can even hear the sound of you guys screenshotting it on my ear. That's why I'm laughing. Amen, somebody. That concludes session 40.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.